In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Fellow disc jockey in the Underground Garage, Michael DeBar, has got a new single out on Wicked Cool Records, and on it he's backed by Prima Donna, a Los Angeles-based band. The song's called Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It. It's the recent coolest song in the world, and join us to talk about it is Prima Donna's guitarist and frontman, Kevin Preston. We'll talk about the single and find out what else the band has been up to. But first, here's some of Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It, Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it is time, dear listener, for our Coolest Conversations. My guest is Kevin Preston, lead singer and guitarist for the LA-based band Prima Donna, and he and the band, Prima Donna, are backing our very own Michael DeBar on Michael's latest single, Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It, which is our coolest song in the world this week, available now from Wicked Cool Records. Kevin, how are you?
Manfred, I'm great. I'm very caffeinated in New York City right now.
Very caffeinated. And what is your caffeine delivery system of choice?
I'm really into this cold brew coffee. It seems like it hits quicker. Not that I, you know, need that, but it hits pretty quick, and then I'm wired for a couple of hours, so it's pretty good.
Well, that's pretty good. And did you say how many cold brew coffees you've had so far today?
I'm on number 3, and let's see, it's still morning, so.
So you're pounding those guys. Who were you hanging out with when you were?
I was just with Brian Ray, as luck would have it. I arrived in New York yesterday, and then I'm walking into the Lower East Side, and how do I set the scene? It was probably like 10 p.m., and I'm walking down the street in the Lower East Side, and the only other person on the street walking in the opposite direction is Jesse Malin. And I'm just like, this is too New York, this is a dream. But yeah, it's been really fun. And then I bumped into Brian Ray at my hotel, and I went and had coffee with him this morning. It's been pretty New York.
Wow, this is all really cool. So they're in the midst of our, you know, Wicked Cool Records, Underground Garage, extended family, and you and your bandmates teamed up with the Marquee of Rock and Roll, you know, Michael DeBar. You got this coolest song in the world happening, Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It. How did this project come together?
Well, I have been a fan of Michael's for a long time. I was really into the show as a kid. My whole family would watch the show Just Shoot Me. Just Shoot Me was a sitcom about a fashion magazine in New York. And he had this guest starring role on an episode where he played, what else, a rock star. And he was the coolest looking rock star I'd seen. It was fictional, but it's not, actually, now that I'm friends with him, it's not very far off from his you know, his Michael personality. It was great. And I was like, who is that guy? And then years later, I was playing in this band, The Skulls, and the singer, Billy Bones, grew up in England, and he'd play me all the glitter rock stuff that he loved growing up. And one of them was Silverhead. And I started digging, and I'm like, wait, that's that same guy from Just Shoot Me. So anyways, I've been a fan since I was a kid, even before I, you know, heard his music.
Okay, so that sort of gives us background about you being familiar with Michael. But how did the project come together? I mean, were you guys hanging out somewhere, or did he just reach out to you guys out of the blue? Or did you guys kind of put your heads together in the practice space and say, why the hell don't we do something with Michael DeBar, the Marquis of rock and roll?
I kept running into Michael around town. We lived near each other in Los Angeles, and I'd see him hiking. I'd go hiking, and then I'd see Michael DeBar charging up the hill. And I eventually just started talking to him, and we've been friends ever since. And a lot of this happened just before the pandemic. We bumped into each other and talked about writing some songs. And yeah, over the past couple of years, we've written a few tunes. One of them is the B-side to this record. And the A-side is something he wrote with Little Steven. And I helped do some arranging, and really cool to play on that. It gave me a chance. This song, the coolest song, Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It, I got to play some slide guitar, which I love to do. And yeah, when we came to talk about who the other musicians would be, I said, hey, Prima Donna, you know, we're dialed in. We could knock this out in a day, which we did. We're so tight as a unit, you know, we can knock out songs so quick. So yeah, it worked great.
So when was this, when did you guys record it?
We recorded it. I had gotten off tour with Green Day, and we went right in the studio when I got home at Bruce Witkin's studio. And that's also, we're all in the San Fernando Valley, suburbs of LA. And anyways, so we recorded out there with Michael. We all got in a room and knocked it out.
So tell me something about Bruce, because I'm not familiar with him, Bruce Witkin.
Yeah, Bruce Witkin moved to Los Angeles with Johnny Depp in the 80s. They had a band together called The Kids, and they moved out here. And then he became a really great producer during that time, built a studio. And then more recently, he played with Hollywood Vampires on keyboards, and he's just an all around, he's just a superb musician. And producer, he thinks ahead, and everything you're going to suggest, I kid you not, he already has things dialed in, just anticipating what you might ask for. So, you know, he gets it. He's rock and roll through and through. And that's important, because a lot of producers nowadays do, you know, they do whatever they have to do to keep their studios open, but they're not always doing tons of rock and roll.
Right.
And he's just very in tune with, you know, guitar, you know, big guitars and great drum sounds, which is, you know, kind of a rare thing now.
Well, very cool. And so he sort of produced, and Michael produced as well.
Yes. And Michael produced, I mean, how could he not? It's when he comes in, he comes in with so many ideas. And I think it's important for the listeners to know that hear his radio show. He is every bit Michael DeBar at all times. It's the most infectious, positive, beautiful attitude. And so, yeah, he came in and just added that MDB sparkle to it.
Oh, man, I love hearing that. Well, hey, so you mentioned coming off the road with Green Day recently. Can you remind us about how you landed that gig? Because you're like a touring guitar player with Green Day.
That's right. Years ago, I played in they had a garage side project, like super garage rock. You guys played the hell out of the record, and it was called Foxborough Hot Tubs.
Yeah.
And I played guitar in that band. And then we did that for a few years. We did one tour, and like, we pretty much every year got together to play a party at least or something like that. And then a few years ago, I played with Billy Joe in a side project he had called The Long Shot. And that was with also with David from Prima Donna. And then a couple years ago, they hit me up to play touring guitar with Green Day. And I've been doing that now for about 3 years. And it's a total dream come true. I have to say, it's not a dream come true. I never even dreamt of that because it didn't even seem, it's beyond my wildest dreams. I never thought there'd be a place for me to play in Green Day. It's crazy. So I've been cut, 3 years later, and we just got in from, we went to South America. We played Rock in Rio in front of 120,000 people.
Wow.
And then we went down to Argentina, and it was just like, the Ramones documentary, End of the Century. Yeah. When they go down to South America, and I think they were in Argentina, and people are like jumping on their taxis and on their van and everything. It was just like that. Oh my God. We got to the hotel and there were hundreds of kids outside, and they sang all night and they never left. They just waited for us to come out.
Wow.
And then, And then we played the gig in Argentina to about 40,000 people, but it sounded like a million people. They're the loudest crowd I've ever played for. It was Beatlemania. It was crazy.
Man, that is pretty cool. Well, so you've had that experience, and fortunately you can keep your feet grounded, when you're focusing on your own stuff. What's upcoming for Prima Donna?
Well, this was the most recent thing. We've been trying to get this out for a while now. And David, our drummer, David S. Field, put together a music video for it. And so, yeah, anyways, that's all I got. We're doing, wait, I'm sorry. I'm tripping over my words here. Can you ask that again?
Yeah. So what do you have upcoming for Prima Donna outside of we got the new single with Michael DeBar, but what about stuff that's just focused on yourselves? Like, is there any new recordings on the way, or a new single or album, or are you guys planning any shows? What's in the immediate future?
So any free moment we all get, we just jump in. David's got a little studio in his house, that our little jam room in his garage. So we've just been writing every chance we get. We've got a couple of tunes and we're going to see where it goes. We're all around pretty much through, like we're around in the winter. So we're all just going to hole up in his garage and write a new record. And we've got a show at Zebulon in November. I can't remember the date, but I'm sure I'll put it all over Instagram. So, yeah. So we got that coming up, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, with any luck, that'll be a show that you can feature or debut some of these new songs, maybe.
That's true. Jeez, I didn't even get that far yet. You're giving me some good ideas. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I did a song with Josie Cotton as well, and she's playing on that bill at Zebulon, so we'll have to sing our song.
Yes, is it like a song about Elvis? Michael.
Yeah, it was written by the Payne brothers, her longtime producers, and they wrote it back in the 80s, and it just never got recorded, and we took a stab at it, and it was the most fun I've ever had singing, I think. I know that. Our voices just blend so well together. And I've been obsessed with her voice for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, very cool voice. And so to go backwards to the Payne brothers, those are the guys that actually wrote Johnny, Are You Queer?
Yeah, well, that could be a whole book in itself, because that song has roots in LA punk even before they put their magic touch on it. But anyone listening, Google it. It's a really crazy story. But to me, nobody could do that song except Josie Cotton. Like, that is, it's just a perfect recording.
And you guys did a video for that, right? Did you go out to Pioneer Town?
Yeah, right next to Pappy and Harriet's, there's this really crazy ranch, and we shot. Yeah, we had 2 days before I left for Europe with Green Day, and we knocked it all out. And I think we each did about 10 costume changes, and we took some dance lessons, me and her, to get some of the dances right. And it was really great. There's a scene in a in a saloon, a scene in a chapel, a scene out in the desert. A scene on a train. Yeah, we really.
And for folks that don't know what really Pioneer Town is, or Pappy and Harry, it's just kind of out near Joshua Tree. There's this restaurant, Pappy and Harry. It's a barbecue place. And then next to that is just this maybe it was an old movie set or something, but it's just these Western buildings just kind of set up on a street, and you can just kind of wander around in those places.
Yeah, you really get into the mood out there.
Well, cool, man, you got all this cool stuff going on. I know that even back on like the 15th, you were performing there in New York at this Jesse Malin event, doing some Ziggy Stardust thing. Was that it?
That's right. Yeah. So Jesse reissued his awesome record Glitter in the Gutter on Wicked Cool, actually. So he did a release party. It was incredible. And then we all had an after party and sang Bowie songs. He sang one, I sang Starman. And yeah, it was really fun. There's a great new Bowie documentary. So it's basically like Jesse's party and a party for Moon Age Daydream, the new Bowie doc. And it was a great New York night.
Cool. Well, speaking of Jesse, now he was also very close to the late Howie Pyro, and they were bandmates in D-Generation. And Jesse put together these really cool benefits for Howie when Howie was dealing with his liver transplant. But now that he's passed, Jesse has organized a tribute show for him that's taking place this upcoming Sunday, September the 25th, at the El Rey here in Los Angeles. And star-studded rock affair. It's got members of Rancid and Black Flag, L7, the Dickies, Kid Congo Powers will be there, Wayne Kramer, yourself, others.
And you.
Yeah, that's right. And me. I'll do a song as well. Can you tell us about the event?
Yeah, of course. It's going down at the El Rey. We did one in New York that I played at. It was the bittersweet task of playing bass for D-Generation. But it was nothing but love. I mean, it was sad, of course. Howie Pyro, I can't think of anybody that influenced the East Coast and the West Coast in a cooler way than Howie Pyro. I got to be friends with him through record collecting. I saw him at Amoeba, I was still a teenager, and I saw him at Amoeba and I knew who he was. And so I went up, and I'm not kidding, I was looking for D-Generation records. I'm a huge fan. And he was DJing at he had a club called Club Screwball, and I would go see him there. And just anyways, you know, he left a huge imprint on New York City, and then he came to the West Coast and did the same thing. LA got so much cooler when he arrived. And yeah, we did a show at the Troubadour to raise money, and then sadly he passed, and I didn't think he was going to. I think it caught everybody by surprise. Yeah. And it's really sad. We miss him terribly. But we got to celebrate them.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do it.
This coming Sunday, the El Rey here in L.A. So this, the B-side to Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It is called Waves. I want us to go out on that. And you mentioned writing a couple of songs with Michael, right? This is one of those songs you guys wrote together.
Yeah, if you can imagine this, we wrote it nose to nose sitting on my couch. And just hearing Michael's voice, inches from your face is like, I get chills. That guy's got so much passion.
Yeah,
you know, it's off the charts. And it really translates on record. I was there when he did the vocals, and it was no different. He just gives it everything he's got.
Well, this is,
man, I don't know many singers like that. Well, actually I do, but not quite like Michael.
So this was like a formal writing session. You guys were like, hey, let's set the state, let's get together. And then you're sitting nose to nose. And was this, how did it develop? Like, did he already have a lyric idea, or he had some chords, or you had a kind of riff, or
We had little bits and pieces, but what it really was is we were just listening to the faces and kind of just jamming around, just me and him, two guitars. Yeah. And then it just happened. You know, it was one of those tunes, like all the good ones, that just came together really quick. I don't even, it's kind of a, you sort of black out in a way. And just, you know, then you have a tune.
A good blackout.
Yes, yes, the good kind of blacking out, if there is one.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Manfred, I can't wait to see you in person. I feel like I've been talking to you on the radio for the past couple of years since the pandemic.
Well, man,
it'll be nice to give you a big old hug.
That's right, brother, man. I say we're going to give each other a big old hug. But right now, we're going to give the B-side a spin. It's Waves from Michael DeBar, backed by Prima Donna and Little Stevens Underground Garage. That was some of Waves here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, featuring Michael DeBar, backed by Prima Donna. It's the B-side to the new single out on Wicked Cool Records, Ain't Nothing You Can Do About It. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Prima Donna's Kevin Preston for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. The Fuzztones, they're a long-running 60s-style garage rock band that began back in the 1980s, and they're a favorite of ours here in the Underground Garage. They've got a new release out. It's called Encore. And joining me next time to talk about it is their frontman and lead guitar player, Rudy Protrudi. He's my guest for your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.